This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn 497.5, down 7.5. July corn 499.5, down 8. September corn 494, down 7.75. May soybeans 1483.75, down 17.25. July soybeans 1465.25, down 21.75. August soybeans 1404.75, down 18. May wheat 705.5, down 8.5. July wheat 715, down 7.5. September wheat 724, down 7. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Monday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Monday afternoon. Rains over the weekend and Friday's stocks report added downward pressure to the markets. In the northern and western part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 17 to 20 cents at 469 to 491. Soybean bids were mostly 15 cents lower at 1447 to 1468. Now in the central part of the state, corn was 17 cents lower at 467 to 493, and soybean bids were 10 to 12 cents lower at 1466 to 1485. In the southern part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn 16 to 25 cents lower at 480 to 501. Soybean bids were 5 to 8 cents lower at 1452 to 1486. Soybean bids were 5 to 8 cents lower at 1452 to 1486, and wheat bids were 19 to 23 cents lower at 681 to 712. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 17 to 18 cents lower at 1491 to 1525. The basis was 6 to 5 higher at 26 to 60 over the July. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 503 to 520 per ton. 503.20 per ton to 520.20 per ton. Basis levels were up to unchanged at 25 to 42 over the July. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 8 cents lower at 495 to 511. The basis unchanged at 4 to 12 under the July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bid 7 cents lower, 504.5 to 507.5, with the basis 1 lower at 5 to 8 over the July. Soybeans ended 23 to 27 cents lower at 1471 to 1476, with the basis 2 to 5 cents lower at 6 over the July. Wheat prices were 5 to 8 cents lower at 688 to 692, with the basis steady to 2 higher at 27 to 23 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids mostly 8 cents lower at 524 to 525. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 17 cents with quotations at $15. Soft wheat closed mostly 7 cents lower at 730 to 741, and Milo ended the day 5 to 8 cents lower at 520 to 525. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from 451 to 465. Soybeans were 1175 to 1191. And in the central part of the state, corn was 452 to 472. Soybeans were 1177 to 1194. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from 461 to 474, and soybeans were 1174 to 1205. Soft wheat ranged from 680 to 709. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, $137.65, down 40 cents. August live cattle, $138.07, down 12 cents. October live cattle, $142.45, no change. May feeder cattle, $184.60, up 2 cents. August feeder cattle, $191.87, up 50 cents. September feeder cattle, $192.27, up 57 cents. May lean hogs, $113.42, down $1.25. June lean hogs, $119, down $1.17. July lean hogs, $125.15, up 60 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 12th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 104 to 109 with the weighted average carcass price of 105.45. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $3 to $5 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 70 to 76, 4 to 5 weights 74 to 84, 5 to 6 weights 83 to 88, and 6 weights and up were 84 to 90. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging in prices $73 up to $78. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 14,470 head, and in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 148 to 150.50, and on a dress basis, 234 to 240. Heifers on a live basis traded at 147 to 149, and on a dress basis at 236 to 238. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 205 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $113.82, and that was $2.09 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $223.26, and that was $2.39 lower, with select carcasses at $212.21, and that was 30 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000. That compared to 120,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 393,000. That compared to 386,000 last week and 399,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.04. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.91. June corn delivered to Scottville, $4.95. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.68. June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.65. May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.57. June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.54. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.04. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5, corn at Scottville is $4.91, beans at Greenfield are $14.68, beans at Scottville are $14.57, and wheat at Scottville is $7.04. Reuters reports Brazil has confirmed its second case of atypical mad cow disease with no link to contaminated feed. The agriculture ministry says the diseased animal was incinerated and none of its parts entered the feed chain. Classical cases of mad cow are caused when cattle are fed brain or spinal tissue of other ruminants, now forbidden in nearly all beef-producing countries. Atypical cases of the disease mean the protein is contracted spontaneously instead of through the feed supplier. So far, several countries have banned some or all beef imports from Brazil, which is the world's top beef exporter. Early registration is now open for the National Corn Growers Association's National Corn Yield Contest. Until June 16th, entry fees are only $75. Every year, Production and Stewardship Action Team Chair Don Glenn says, valuable data is collected from the contest that helps develop the production practices of tomorrow. Entry will remain open at the full rate of $110 through August 1st. All harvest forms are due by November 21st, and contest winners will be announced December 19th. To enter the contest, visit membership.ncga.com/cornyieldcontest. The Montgomery County Farmland Assessment Review Committee will hold a public hearing on procedures and certification of adjusted 2014 farmland values proposed by the Department of Revenue on May 30th at 10 a.m. in the County Boardroom, Second Floor, Historic Courthouse in Hillsboro. For questions, you can contact the Chief County Assessing Official, Ray Durston. This weekend was a great weekend to get a lot of work done out in the fields for many farmers. I spoke with Madison County farmer Gary Connect about how the planting season is progressing for his family.
Me and my brother farm in Madison County around the Edwardsville area, and then I help my son farms up in Menard County on some family ground that we have up there and float back and forth to both of the destinations. But planting has been progressing. It really progressed a lot last week. We've had some serious rainfalls down here. The first part of April, we had 7.5 to 8 inches of rain. And then around the last week in April, we got another 4.5, which really flooded a lot of the fields here in Madison County and just did some terrible, terrific washing and stuff in different fields that weren't even tilled for this year yet. And, of course, it's been completely opposite up in Menard County around the Petersburg area where it's been dry up there. And my son's got pretty much all of his crops put in the ground up there. And we finished up there this weekend on the beans that he had to put in there yet. Getting back to Madison County again, we just got our corn in last week, and we haven't started beans yet, and we just got another 7/10 inch of rain. I believe it was Sunday night, so we're a little wet again here, so we're waiting for that to dry out, and then maybe we can move forward with the beans down here.
That must be really interesting, juggling farming in two different counties, especially when it seems that the conditions were so different so far for the planting season.
Yeah, but when it works out like it did this year, when it's too wet in one place and it's dry in another place, you can be going back and forth. It's a little more, you know, the juggling act, like you said, when it's maybe dry in both places or wet in both places. But this year, even though the conditions haven't been as great as we'd like to see them down here, it's benefited up there as far as helping my son get some more of his stuff in.
All right, sounds great. And what are the breakdowns of what you're planting this year? Kind of what's the ratios that you guys are looking at for corn and beans and everything?
Yeah, roughly we're about, I would say probably, if you combine the two places, probably about 60% beans and 40% corn.
All right. And why did you guys decide to break it down like that and have more beans this year?
Because normally down here we've gone to a lot of back-to-back corn year after year down in our area here. The soil types are such that we can do that and get by with it. But the price, it's a lot of the fields we've put in corn 6-7 years in a row, so we decided to switch over to beans. And what helped determine that naturally is the $12, $13, $14 bushel price for beans.
Yep, I think everybody is eyeing up those at nice prices for beans this year.
Correct.
All right, and do you have any concerns looking at this year's growing season? I know last year a lot of farmers had some problems with weeds in their beans. So what are some main concerns that you're looking at this year?
Well, actually, it's a little too early to tell on anything. Like I said, we just got our corn in down here last week, and there was some concerns up in Menard County area with the corn being in the ground there for 10 days to 2 weeks in the fields that the boy planted, and some of it was starting to kind of flower under because of the cool, wet weather we had there. But then they were fortunate and got a half inch of rain the other night there, and so when we was up there Saturday, a lot of that corn's come through, and it's looking pretty good right now, much better than it did 4 or 5 days prior to that when it was a little cooler and wetter. So I think for right now, things are looking pretty good, and it's too early to tell as far as weed pressure that goes because, like I said, we haven't been going that long.
All right, very good. And a lot of farmers out there, well, everybody knows farmers are very much tied to their technology. It's been shown that farmers tend to jump on technology trends sooner than the general populace. So let me ask you, what is your favorite piece of technology out there that farmers are using nowadays? I know AutoSteer has become really popular for a lot of farmers, but what would you say is your favorite piece of technology that's coming out?
Yeah, the AutoSteer, as you mentioned, is a great piece of technology, and it's been around for several years, but I know the planting the last couple of years, there's been a lot more effort put towards planters and the exact placement of the seed and the position of the seed, how it's put into the ground and the spacings, and seem to be coming more and more of an important factor as far as determining the final yields and the technology that they're coming out with in terms of the new planters. I think is one of the most fascinating right now.
Oh yeah, that precision plant technology. I'm sure a lot of people are eyeing that up right now and trying to get that implemented in their fields.
And again, I don't have that, but you know, if I had to have my wish list there, where I would want something just to just pull into the yard and be ready for me to go, that would be the one thing probably right now.
If Santa could have dropped that off for Christmas this past year, that would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been fine, and I wouldn't have argued a bit.
All right. Well, Gary, we seem to have covered everything that I wanted to talk about. Do you think that we're leaving anything out here?
No, not. I just, you know, basically, like I said, it's still early for in the season for a lot of the things we got done, and we're hoping that maybe by the middle of the week, if it dries out and we don't get some more rain, which they're talking about today down here, I think for us in the St. Louis area, maybe another good shot at, you know, some more rain. But if it holds off for a couple more days, maybe we can get back in the fields and maybe get our beans wrapped up in the next 5 or 6 days. So that's the main thing.
Again, that was Gary Kinect from Madison County, and I'm sure he's joined by many other area farmers in his hopes for some dry weather so he can get all of his soybeans in the ground. Osteoporosis is a bone disease that will affect half of all women in their lifetime and a quarter of all men. I spoke with Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council about this bone disease.
Osteoporosis is actually a thinning of the bones, and the word osteoporosis literally means porous bones. What happens is the disease is characterized by low bone mass. It develops gradually, slowly. Oftentimes there are no warning signs until the bones actually become so fragile that they break. Quite often we see this in bones in the hip area of the spine and also the wrist. Again, it is disease that we tend to see in older individuals.
We may see it more frequently in older individuals, but does that mean you are not at risk if you're younger?
Well, what happens is that, you know, actually it's a disease of older individuals, but the starting point for this is in our early childhood years and then through our teenage years, because we know that in order to prevent osteoporosis, we need to make sure that our diet is rich in calcium. And, of course, for many of us, that means that we need to work harder to make sure we're getting our 3 servings of milk, yogurt, and cheese on a daily basis because they provide so much calcium. So it's really important to focus in on that. So a diet rich in calcium is critical along with our lifestyle, making sure that we're active and physically fit.
So it's something that you need to take preventative measures to avoid early on.
Well, if everybody met the calcium recommendation and got the recommended amount of calcium in their diet, there would be no problem. But many people do not. So it is critical, especially, you know, in our childhood years, our teen years, and probably up until about age 25, that we really work hard to make sure our diet is healthy, that it is calcium rich. Because our body will take the calcium, it stores it in our bones, and if we do not provide our body calcium through our diet on a daily basis, our body will take the calcium it needs from our bones. And if we do that over a lifetime, that's when we see the issue of bones becoming very thin and brittle and porous.
Now, what are some risk factors for susceptibility to osteoporosis?
Well, obviously, there are many different risk factors. We just talked about 2 of them. One is, of course, our diet, making sure that we have a healthy diet. The other one is being physically active, making sure we have weight-bearing exercise. That's important. There is a genetic aspect to the disease. So if someone in your family has had a problem with osteoporosis, that may mean that you are more at risk for developing osteoporosis. Women tend to get osteoporosis more than men, but men can still get it. In fact, there are statistics that tell us that 1 out of every 4 men over the age of 50 will develop osteoporosis, and 2 out of every 4 women over the age of 50 will have a problem with osteoporosis. And then there are other lifestyle factors. Individuals who smoke tend to be at greater risk, and individuals who consume too much alcohol are also, that's one of the risk factors.
All right. I found it interesting that weight-bearing exercises will also help to prevent getting osteoporosis.
You know, exercise is very important along with diet because it helps to maintain bone health throughout our life. Weight-bearing exercise, for example, things like walking or jogging, hiking, tennis, volleyball, and dancing, it really does make an impact on the bone, and this helps in turn to stimulate bone growth and also helps to maintain the bone. So for maximum bone benefit, we need to include a variety of weight-bearing activities every day, if at all possible, and we want to strive for about 30 minutes of activity each and every day.
Now, what about for those who are lactose intolerant? How can they make sure that they get enough calcium to prevent osteoporosis? Are things like calcium and vitamin D enhanced orange juice good alternatives?
You can. That is an option. But one thing that I might recommend, even for people that are lactose intolerant, is you can still have yogurt. It has natural bacteria, which will help your body digest lactose, which is that milk sugar. Often people who have lactose intolerance are missing out on an enzyme that helps them to do this. So definitely you can still eat yogurt. You can also eat natural types of cheeses like cheddar and Swiss and Colby. So all of those are easy ways to still rely on dairy. And then another strategy you can try is, of course, there are many versions of lactose-free dairy out there in the grocery store. So check that out as well. Oftentimes, people who have lactose intolerance can also purchase an enzyme from the drugstore that will help them, again, digest that lactose and break it down. Something like lactase is an option for them as well.
All right. Sounds great.
But again, the main thing is just remember, include dairy in your diet, try to get 3 servings each and every day, and be physically active, and you can prevent something like osteoporosis developing down the road.
Again, that was Joyce Vickery of the St. Louis Dairy Council. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.